This is the SF Signal Podcast. I am your host. My name is Patrick Hester, and I'm an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. My guest tonight, well, actually, I met her through John and Elio, and I'm actually very grateful that he introduced us because I absolutely love her sense of humor, and her posts on Facebook and Twitter constantly crack me up. And of course, I'm talking about Delilah S. Dawson. Delilah, why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
I mainly just yell yay a lot when I hear my name.
Well, and
basketball game.
And the last time you and I were on a podcast together, we actually both had hoodies and we had the video going. No one else could see it except John and Elio.
And we got different hats.
I grabbed my lightsaber and put my hoodie up, and then you put your hoodie up and you were doing it too. We were like Jedi. It was funny.
No one got to see any of it. No. I am Delilah S. Dawson. I am a writer. I write, most of the things I write are dark and whimsical. I've got a kind of steampunk paranormal romance with Pocket. The series is called Blood. All the books begin with the word wicked. Wicked as they come, wicked as they, she wants, wicked as after midnight. It's just anything wicked, I'll take it. Like if it gets good reviews, whatever.
And Blood is spelled with a U.
Yes, B-L-U-D, because they're not legit vampires. They're people with real feelings that don't glitter. And I have some comics out, some short stories. I have a young adult book out this August with Simon Pulse called Servants of the Storm, and a kind of pre-dystopian out next spring. And I recently did some self-published geek erotica under a pseudonym.
So, now, not to put you on the spot, but tell me about this.
Not just the P word.
No. I'm not gonna say. Not to put you on the spot, but tell me about this Tad Williams-inspired YA epic fantasy you're going to write.
Oh, well, I mean, it's, yeah, he's been inspiring me ever since I picked up Tail Chaser's song. Like, that's, I've got, like, my book downstairs. My daughter's like, can I read that? I'm like, no, you can't touch it. It's the precious. But, yeah, I've had this story in my head for a while. I had this idea based on, have you ever seen, there's a bird called a, what's it called? It's a harpy vulture, and it looks like if a condor, a secretary bird, and like a wolf had a baby. Like it's this crazy, huge, vicious-looking bird. And I was like, people need to be riding that with saddles because that thing looks vicious.
I think I've seen that in Feralis in World of Warcraft, but it was attacking me. I don't know.
I'm sure someone else thought of it, but it's just that idea where like we saw Divergent recently, and I watched Golden Compass, and it was like, we need, I want to see some YA epic fantasy, but that's not written with, you know, like, the High Elves Gamorkbork who said, but Ella Sashida, and you're like, I don't like maps. I don't like to have to look at a cast of characters. I just want to read a book that doesn't take up a lot of mental space. So I think that's, once I finish, like, the three books in the pipeline, I'm definitely chewing on that one.
Very cool. Yeah, I saw that today on Facebook, so I had to ask you about it.
I need clones so I can have like one of me just writing the new books and then the other person is chained in the basement to edit them because like edits are what takes so long. Then you get these shiny new ideas and you're like, I just really want to win all the deadlines and it'll be like the 2050s. And yeah.
So for the purposes of our listeners, you keep getting texts on Skype.
Oh no, actually I don't. I just got
no. Looked. I keep hearing it. I keep hearing it bleeping.
Oh, what, me?
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's probably just Facebook being asinine. I should turn it off. No. I've only gotten one on Skype, and that was a guy who wanted me to, hoping that on Skype, you know, as a respectable married woman with grammar, that I would hope to, you know, act out some of my books on Skype. So, you know, you want the part about like the demon where they kill people that are annoying? So we could act that part out.
Interesting. Maybe
even 60 times.
So how did you decide to do this? I mean, what was the catalyst that gets you into writing?
I wrote brochures when I was younger and I wrote poetry, but I always thought that writers were like nuns or doctors where you grew up with this, you know, you knew you had a calling. And I thought that in order to write a book, you had to have these magical powers. My only magical power is finding four leaf clovers and nobody pays you for that. But when my second kid was 9 months old, I'm pretty sure I had a psychotic break. I was getting like 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night and I started hallucinating. And all the parts of your brain that tell you, no, you can't do this, this is wrong, you're crazy, like they were gone. There was nothing left there basically. I was like, yeah, there's rats in the walls and they talk to me. And I went to my husband who's a psychologist and I was like, hey, I think I might be going crazy. And he was like, you know, well, we need to get you more sleep, but like, you're telling me a story. Why don't you just go write the story? And like, that'll give you something to do. You should be a writer. So I, that part of my brain that should have said like, you can't be a writer. No one told you to be a writer. Like, it was gone. So I wrote a book because nothing told me that I couldn't write a book.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
There's
insanity.
Yeah. I think we are our own worst enemies because we do tell ourselves we can't do stuff.
Yep.
And if we can't, if like we're not the one telling us, there's always our mom.
No, my mom wanted me to illustrate children's books. And I was like, I wrote a book. And she was like, now you need to illustrate. And I was like, that's a lot of work. But I think I've gotten into doing some workshops lately. Crossroads Writers Conference in Macon, I've done some workshops. I've got one coming up with Lit Reactor soon on world building. But I think one of the biggest gifts you can give to people is just saying, like, look, I didn't write a book till I was 32. I didn't know how to do it or what I was doing, and I did it. You can do this, too. You can be running on 2 hours of sleep. You can have a new baby. You can be working 2 jobs. Like, you can do it. All you have to do is keep writing.
Very cool. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who talk about stealing time.
Well, I think the key to that is that if you think of writing as work, as this thing I have to do after my day job and the laundry and the kids, and then I just have to do more work. I'm like, good God, why would you? But it's my escape. Like, I look forward to it almost as much as the coffee and pastries I take in while I do it. But I mean, that's my escape. That's my reward, and not my work.
Now, the Blood series, was that the first ones that you'd worked on, or was it something else?
The first book was a tragically flawed women's fiction about a married woman who accidentally slept with Zeus on a ferry, as women so often did back in the day, where they didn't mean to, and then suddenly they were, you know, being turned into a swan. But in her case, she just started, you know, seeing all of the things from the myths all over the place and was trying to hide this from her husband. And I went through the whole query process, learned everything I needed to know to write and publish, you know, everything about querying publishing online. And a couple of very kind agents who to this day, like, I have thanked them in my first book, said like, hey, your writing shows promise, but married women don't want to read about infidelity. This book is tragically flawed, and it's no one will ever buy it, no matter how cute it is. And so I shelved it and wrote a middle grade about rats that talk to them. Don't know where that came from. And that one got my agent, and it did not sell. And then Blood, Wicked as They Come was the third book that I wrote, and it sold in a 3-book series at auction.
Very cool. And I seem to remember a photograph on Facebook that was, you had sold something else. There was another book series or something.
Is that the pumpkins?
Yes.
The pumpkins laid out on Halloween. Yes, that was my my YA series. The first book is called Hit. I think the second one's going to be called Strike, but that's about a world in which, you know, you see these dystopians and you're like, oh, well, yeah, of course we've divided the U.S. into 12 regions where you only produce coal, or of course we're going to be abnegation or dauntless. And I was like, well, how did that, what was the first step that took it from being like, we're a perfectly normal country to, boy, are your kids going to be messed up and wearing gray jumpers? And so it's basically about like the banks buy America, and what their first step is to use teens as assassins against the debtors.
Wow.
But yeah, we my agent finished that deal on Halloween, so that was a super fun announcement.
That was, yeah. And the gray jumpers, you've been watching Revolution, haven't you?
No, I haven't seen it. We saw Divergent last weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You mentioned it. Did you like that? Was it good?
You know, the book really obsessed me. I mean, I think I was getting, it came out in 2012, and I was getting my congratulatory tattoo for my first book series, and I was reading it, and every picture of me getting the tattoo, I'm like, got my nook up in my face. But I didn't like, the ending I thought was reasonable, but I don't like to read about, you know, let's all fight the government. Like, I just find that very boring, so I never picked up the following ones. But the first one, really, I found very compelling.
I was just chatting with someone who could not put the book down. They stayed up all night to finish it.
Yep. Which right now I'm reading Victoria Schwab's The Archived and now The Unbound, but it was that same thing. Like, I think I was up till midnight finishing the book, and then out in my car battling an opossum to get my credit card so Barnes & Noble would accept my gift card so I could buy the second one and start reading it at like 2 in the morning. These are good books. YA has come a long way.
It has, yes. I actually was going through Tattered Cover and looking at the different YA books that were out, and I was really impressed with the caliber of them. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely changing. So is that a market that you see yourself doing more stuff in?
I I tend to, I get an idea that inflames me and I bug my agent till she's like, Jesus, yes, just write it, whatever. Like, shut up about it and write it. That's, I guess, my next three that are out will be YA. And then the next book I'm working on is YA contemporary. So it's, as long as those are the ideas that excite me, but like, as you can tell, I'm basically a 12-year-old in a 36-year-old woman's body. So it kind of works. I like the fast pace and the excitement, and I don't want to think about mortgages and divorces and work and taxes. I don't want to think about those things. I'd much rather think about, having a key that opens a door to a place where dead people are stored in boxes. Like, that's what the archive is about. It's genius.
Okay, I gotcha. Now, what about... we talked a little bit briefly about Word versus Scrivener, so I'm not gonna push you on that, even though you need to dump Word and go to Scrivener. But what's a day in the life of Delilah like? I'm just curious. You know, when do you get your writing in?
My best days. I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. 7-year-old gets on the bus at like 6:50 in the morning and it's gone until almost 4. And on my best days, my 5-year-old goes to pre-kindergarten from 9 to 1, and I drop him off. I live in a small mountain town now, so I park downtown, drop him off, walk 2 blocks to the Starbucks, and we'll happily sit there for 4 hours writing.
Now, what I took away from that is that you live in a small mountain town and they still have a Starbucks.
It's a college town as well. It's Dahlonega, Georgia. I got lured here by the Dahlonega Literary Festival, and it's amazing. It's a beautiful little town, but it's progressive enough to have a literary festival, and it has North Georgia State College, which is like a half-military, half-Christian college. I don't know. They're unfailingly polite, these boys. People will leave their MacBook sitting on the table and go to the bathroom, and like no one touches it.
Interesting. Well, now, if you're living in Georgia, that reminds me of the story of when I first moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, and a local there asked me, huh?
My mom's side of the family is from Knoxville.
Oh, okay. Well, someone there asked me, they said, what team did I like? And so I'd grew up in Fresno, and first I had to clarify what they were talking about. They said football, and I said, oh, okay. Well, I'd grown up in Fresno, so I said the Bulldogs.
And were they a person? Because if so, you're not friends anymore.
Right. Well, the whole thing was they thought I was talking about the Georgia Bulldogs, and I was not. I said, no, I'm talking about Fresno State. And they're just like, no, we're talking about football here. Football.
Fresno doesn't have a team. Oh, yeah, no. I was grown up in a UGA family and basically told you can't go to Georgia Tech because they don't like women and their football team sucks. But I went to University of Georgia. I met my husband there. I never went to a single football game the entire time I was enrolled.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have either.
But they'll probably kick me out now that I've said that publicly. Erase that. They make you stand on your orientation. They make you stand in this one place and you have to say, go dog, sick of woof, woof, woof. And I was just like, okay, I'm woofing. This is horrible.
Yeah, I think that's actually Arsenio Hall's favorite school. So,
oh man. Well, this is I'm sure I did it wrong. It's probably
Hey, I love Georgia. Actually, I think it's a great state. I used to love driving across the border from Chattanooga into Georgia to buy 99-cent gas.
See, and we used to drive over from Georgia to Chattanooga to buy 99-cent fireworks.
That's right. They had them all right there.
You'd go to Tennessee and you'd be like, oh, I'm going to blow stuff up. And then your mom would buy you like sparklers and be like, wee.
I remember, yeah, when you crossed the border, wasn't there like a giant, there's like a giant fireworks place right there.
It was fantastic.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I rode a camel at the Knoxville Zoo at some point too.
So I talk about the Southern kind of lifestyle. Does that influence your writing at all? Does that make it into the characters? Oh yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. I wish you guys could see the face she just made.
I grew up in a suburb of North Atlanta where they kind of beat the accent out of you. But like when I get around my cousins Jaybird and Castleberry and we start talking, I drop my G's like crazy. The Blood series, it's basically about a parallel universe that is vaguely analogous to ours, where like if you go into a coma in South Carolina or Georgia, you kind of end up in England. And depending on where you go into a certain kind of coma, you end up in some part of their world. And so it's a a nurse from, I think the first one's about a nurse from Atlanta who ends up over there. The second one is about a piano player from South Carolina. And the third one is a girl from Nashville. But yeah, I'm very Southern and I know the Southern ways. I'm working on I'm hoping to do a women's fiction that's based on, my friend grew up in her family's ancestral home. It's one of those ones where they just kept adding on to it for 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is just the most creepy, beautiful, marvelous place.
So,
and then Servants of the Storm is Savannah. So it's very Southern Gothic. My husband's from there. My brother-in-law is a pirate who drives a carriage to give tours downtown.
Nice. I always wanted to go to Savannah. That's the one area that I never actually made it down there. No, I didn't make it down there. I had the opportunity to move there at one point.
My in-laws live there, so I'm slightly biased, but I don't think you want
to. Well, they gave me the option. I could move to Nashville because they wanted me near a hub, like a real airport. Yeah, in Knoxville, there was no real airport. So they wanted me either Nashville, or they said I could move, you know, towards the coast somewhere. And one of the places they suggested was Savannah.
Yeah, but that airport has like, you know, they get like three planes a day.
But well, yeah,
we went there once, and we were like, well, which gate? And they're like, you just stand in the middle and call their name. You don't need a gate.
Yeah, neither one happened. So, oh, well. Now, I'm curious about the comics. So we haven't really talked about the comics before, you and I. So tell me a little bit about these comics.
Well, aside from, you know, reading The Tick back in high school, I was never big into comics, I think in part because it's changing a lot now. But when I was right in that little ripe, I'm a geek and I want to read weird stuff state, the main thing I got from comics was like, you will have large breasts and a big butt and you will help the superhero do things, which is not the role I wanted to play.
Right.
Which recently there's so many good things coming out. I mean, Saga has changed my life, but basically I got an email from Amazon when they were starting out with their Kindle World saying, hey, if you would like to write in the Valiant world, we would like to invite you to do that for the Kindle Worlds. And I was looking at the comics and I was like, I don't know, who are all these dudes? And they're all buff dudes. And then I found Shadow Man and was like, oh, I get this. Me and Jack Boniface are good buddies now. So I wrote a 25-ish thousand word e-novella for Kindle Worlds, and loved it. And now I'm a big fan of Shadow Man, and I've met some of the guys at Valiant. They're really nice. And then I think one of my agent siblings through my agent, Kate McKean, I can't remember if it was I don't know. What, maybe it was Ken Laurier or Mark Hale, but one of them was like, hey, by the way, we're doing this anthology for Boo. You should do it. And so I did, and I realized I just really like writing comics. So I had something in the Boo comic, a couple things in the steampunk comic, and then I'm working with an artist named Nathan Massengill, who is also local to Georgia, who's a really nice guy, and we're working on some secret projects together, but I would love to write more comics. I may write romance, but at the heart, everything I write is an adventure, and it's all kind of dark, and I also like horror, so comics really appeal.
Very cool. And it's completely different because you're scripting stuff out.
Mm-hmm. But it's I know my friend Sam Sykes is working on comics too, and he wrote a really great blog post today about how hard it can be when you're in your comfort zone to push yourself out of it and do something hard. But I'm an artist. I have an art degree. I taught art classes. I did murals. I took a bunch of comics classes back in the 80s, which, you know, really gives me a leg up. Hey, you know, IDWM over here. But, you know, I can thinking in panels is freeing and fun, and I can really see it in my head. Like, I think I get really kind of long-winded describing what I see maybe when I'm writing the comics, which hopefully is more help than not. But working with Nathan, like Pete, is really good at being like, yeah, how about we just do this? And I'm like, oh, that's good. That's what I meant.
Well, and obviously it's super easy when you just go into Scrivener and you hit new project comic and it automatically creates the script for, oh, that's right, you don't use Scrivener. Oh, never mind.
I guess I just... I don't want to say if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but I've never like been in Word and been like, oh, this is so challenging with the words and putting the words in the words.
Yeah.
Sure. Although I did have fun. I'm working on edits for Hit, and I decided to change it. The cover is so striking, and I love the cover so much that I decided to change the main character's hair so that instead of being a blonde, she'd be a brunette to match the cover. So you go in and you realize all of the words you use for blonde. Like sometimes I had blonde with an E or without an E, or it's a, you know, golden or sun glinted. And it was just like, oh God, we need a better way to find this. All the different ways I had to search to eradicate her blonde hair.
So I do a lot of old school stuff when I'm writing. So for example, I do two spaces after a period.
I know.
And I'll
your barbecue too.
I know. And I'll do capital first letters for north, south, east, and west.
Oh, I do that too.
And my writers group was just hating it. They didn't want the capital letters. And so I just did a across the board find and replace. I changed all the capital N's in north to lowercase, all the and everything. And then later on they come to me and they're like, well, you know that, like, this sentence, you started with north, but it's not a capital N. And I said, that's your fault. Ooh, you made me do that.
You know, my very first find and replace, I wrote this book that my agent wouldn't take it out. I still love it. It was called Attack of the Batshit Bimbos. And it was about, like, if zombies struck all the people who drank Diet Coke and used suntanner, and only the geeks were left to fight them. Mm. And I decided to take a guy whose name was Tom and change his name to Jimbo. But I didn't narrow it down enough, so like Stomp became Sajimbo. Yeah, all the Toms became Jimbo. It was, God, that was rough. And then of course you can't really search for Jimbo if it's inside of a word. So
I'm looking at your website here, and I'm curious, how did the Galen Dara cover come to be?
Isn't she lovely?
Oh, I love her to death.
I did part of the Fireside Fiction magazine. That was year two. They just had a successful run on Kickstarter for year three, so I'm super excited about that. But yeah, they invited me in that, and I loved it. It was my first invitation to do an anthology where I could basically take a character from my blood world and, you know, you can't have a lizard boy as the romantic hero in a mainstream fiction book, but it was the first time I got to take a character I really cared a lot about and explore him, and so I wrote this story about the lizard boy's secret life that nobody knows about, and Galen Dara read it, and that's what she came up with, and it's gorgeous. She sent me a print. I have it hanging up downstairs in my office.
Aww.
But I really like her work. The stuff I've seen her do for Kevin Hearn recently has just been gorgeous. His Castle Perilous Enovella is lovely.
I have a notebook similar to the one that I showed you earlier, which looks like this. And the listeners can't see it, but you can. But I have a notebook like that where she and I were doodling together at WorldCon in Reno. So, you know, hopefully, worth a lot of money someday.
Get ready, eBay. It's coming.
Tell me about Carnipunk.
Carnipunk. Oh, yeah, that was my first big I still remember, like, when I got the email that asked if I wanted to be involved with it and saw some of the names involved, and I was sitting in a cafe, and I was eating beignets, and I, like, wasn't paying attention and bit into it, and the powdered sugar just went all over my face, and I must have looked like I got hit in the face with, you know, like, the thing that comes out of the steering wheel, and you're like, oh, it was so exciting. But yeah, that was I guess everything you write, it's like, oh, it's the first time I got to do so-and-so because I'm such a new little baby shaky-legged lamb writer, but it was the first time I got to make something really dark. You know, you write romance, you have to have at least a happily ever now, if not a happily ever after. And that was the first thing where it was like, this is getting dark and it's not pulling back. but it also, I mean, it's I've dealt with depression issues, so it was kind of refreshing to use the kind of beautiful little romance adventure world I'd created to explore some of the dark things that happen to you in a dark world that we usually only see the light side of.
Very cool. I also noticed that you have a story. Two of my favorite people, Pip Ballantyne and T. Morris, and they created something called The Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, and you have a short story there.
Yes, that was so sweet. It's it was in the Ministry Protocol anthology last year. And my story is called Our Lady of Monsters. They wanted steampunk stories with the ministry set outside of England. And so I looked through all of the years that they had done, and I didn't see anything in Paris. And I was in the middle of writing Wicked After Midnight, which is basically Moulin Rouge with steampunk vampires. And I was like, oh, I'm going to set a little story in Paris that has to do with Notre Dame. And theirs was another chance where you could, you know, you do a mainstream romance story, and, like, the people have to be attractive and young and fit. And so I did a ministry agent who is middle-aged, and she has been waiting to get, you know, she's waiting for her active status, but like she's in her 40s and she runs a bakery and she's plump, and like it's very much a challenge for her where they're like, hey, you're finally activated. And she's like, great, I don't fit into my pants anymore. But I did put an Easter egg with that in the ministry story. The girl who runs the bakery, her signature color is lavender. The entire inside of the bakery, all of her boxes, everything is lavender. And in Wicked After Midnight, at one point, there's a box of lavender eclairs.
I'm
like, eh.
That's awesome. So you got the Wicked books out. You've got lots of short stories. You've got the comics. And then you're when are you shooting for the YA to actually come out and people be able to start reading it?
Yay. Well, I mean, Servants of the Storm is out in almost 4 months. It's August 5th. It comes out. That's the debut. I love that cover. I've had the same creative director. Her name is Regina Flath for all of my YA with Simon Poulsen. Just everything she does is unbelievable. But yes, that's August 5th. And then Hit, we are looking at spring 2015, although we don't have the complete date yet. But the cover went live a couple weeks ago, and it's up on Goodreads.
It's also on your website.
Yes. I think I've – yeah, I redid my my website recently, so hopefully everything is up to date there.
Very cool. And so why don't you tell people your website, because we haven't mentioned it yet.
Oh, yes. The new website is www.whimsydark.com.
And I mentioned
things.
I'm sorry, what?
I was trying to tie in all of the things that I write.
Well, that's what I did too. That's why I have all things from my brain. So, HSMB. Yep. So I also mentioned the Facebook and the Twitter. You're always on there. You're always hilarious. I enjoy everything you post. Why don't you tell people where
that
they can find you?
The greatest thing that ever happened to introverts. I don't even know how I lived before. Well, I do know. I was mainly shy and stayed in the house and didn't answer the phone.
But what's your Twitter and your Facebook?
Delilah S. Dawson. Almost everything. That's Pinterest, Tumblr, that other thing we do. Oh, Spotify. All of my books have playlists, and they're all Delilah S. Dawson. So you can hear the music that's I write to, because I that's how I behaviorally condition myself to get into the separate little worlds, is through the music.
Have you considered contacting them and doing a collection, like a CD, a variety thing?
I listen to a lot of, I don't know, like popular pop, or, you know, like on YA, like the right now I'm listening to mostly the Super Fox and Lumber Fox playlists, and they're all kind of very, you know, I don't know if they're like what people who aren't hipsters think that hipsters listen to, but I'm guessing they'd be things that would be rather expensive. Although I have this YA Weird West that's on hold right now that I was listening to a lot of Gangsta Grass, and like I've been talking back and forth to them on Twitter, and they're super nice. So I really want to see them live soon, because like when you mix gangsta rap and bluegrass, you get not only the Justified theme song, but they have like two or three albums, and they're all awesome.
Bow, 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 bow. I love the Justified theme song.
Well, you should check out their other albums. Like I listen to those a great deal, and they're they got some cool videos too.
Boom, 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 boom. Sorry. I was completely going through the Justified theme song in my head. You know, and
I seriously think Boyd Crowder is one of the best written characters, you know, since Augustus McCrae. Like, I really like those characters.
And Boyd was not intended to survive the pilot. Did you know that?
Walton Goggins. You really kicked that out of the park.
Did you know that he was not supposed to be there? That the pilot episode where he gets shot, he was supposed to die, but they liked him so much as an actor, they kept him on.
If they killed him, I probably wouldn't have kept watching.
It would have been a completely different show. Completely different. I mean, the whole Raylan and Boyd thing is awesome.
It's genius. But I had a dream that I was in the hallway and I ran into some guy, and I looked up, and it was Raylan Givens, and he was wearing a tux and his hat and his boots that he walked so funny in, and I'd made him drop a daytime Emmy, and I made a community joke, and I was like, was that the most handsome young man award? And he stood up and tipped his hat and said, well, now Delilah, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I was like, that's like the best dream I've ever had. He's just so random.
Now, as I said, you do a lot of stuff on Facebook that I like, but I do at least one thing on Facebook that you almost always comment on. So I have a question for you. Delilah Dawson,
Yay! Yes.
Are you ready for a very special SF Signal edition of Five Questions?
I feel like I'm on The Price is Right. No, please.
Paranormal romance or urban fantasy?
Probably urban fantasy, because paranormal romance is usually like the big buff. Guys are like, I'm a 700-year-old vampire and I love no one except for you, tiny blonde woman. And I'm not down with that.
Keith Urban or Carl Urban?
I don't know who either of those are.
Country star and Dr. McCoy.
New Dr. McCoy?
New Dr. McCoy.
New Dr. McCoy. He's adorable.
or Judge Dredd, if you prefer.
I need to see that, seriously.
You do?
Yeah.
Cabaret or vaudeville?
Cabaret.
I thought you might go there.
Although, you know, I was in Odyssey in the Mind in high school, and we did the vaudeville year, so I had to watch a lot of vaudeville. It kind of soured me on vaudeville.
Yeah, okay. Contortionist or acrobat?
Acrobat.
Okay.
I can't contort. I got nothing. I can contort the acrobat.
Well, there's a theme here, as you might be able to tell. Nightwing or Robin?
Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler. Oh, you're going with Kurt.
I'm a big Kurt Wagner fan. Yeah, he's my favorite prehensile-tailed mammal.
Did you read the Nightwing or the Nightcrawler miniseries where he goes off into the other dimensions?
No, but I've heard that there's a new one coming out that's going to really kick ass.
Yes, yes, there is. But there was one way back in the day where he figured out that, you know, when he was bamfing, that he actually passes through other dimensions, and he figured out how to stop and go into those other dimensions. And he was like a pirate, and he was all these different things. And yeah, it's out there. You can probably still find it.
I would love to write him. That's fantastic.
So there you go. Let's do this. Are you going to be anywhere anytime soon where people can actually see you, walk up to you, say, hey, that's a cool tattoo on your wrist?
Yes, so many places. I really love traveling for this purpose. The next one up next weekend is JordanCon, which is a small and just the nicest con I've probably ever been to. Like, they're just, you know, most cons you go to and people bump into you and here, they're like, we're so glad you're here, stranger. It's in Roswell, Georgia. Pat Rothfuss is the guest of honor. And we always have Brandon Sanderson. And so I will be there helping writers and then on some of the panels. Next up after that is, oh my God, that's not McCoy. Lost my train of thought. Yeah, there's an events page on my blog where I keep up with it better when I'm not being assailed by, that's not a Vulcan, that's the other thing that I can't think of. Isn't that?
That was a Romulan.
That's it, the Romulans. They're not
but it was a fake Romulan. It was Data in Romulan makeup.
Oh
yeah,
God.
The listeners at this point don't even know that I'm messing with you on the camera.
No, he's showing me. There's a big blue guy. No, yes, RT, the RT Book Fair, RT Book Reviews Convention is in New Orleans. It'll be my first New Orleans trip this May 14th through 18th. I will have free ARCs, Servants of the Storm, for people who can find me there. I also have sworn that I'm going to wear a steampunk lobster costume to the big awards banquet. Oh, hey, R2. And then Phoenix Comic Con in June, one of my all-time favorite cons. It is so much super fun, and everybody's going to be there. My buddies Chuck Wendig, Kevin Hearn, Sam Sykes, Leanna Renee Heber, who is my goth angel roommate, and we have a great time. But there is Sir Stephen Blackmore is coming. I think we just found out Scalzi's coming.
Explain to me goth angel roommate.
Leanna Renee Heber is a legit vampire. She lives her everyday life in Victorian mourning garb. And she is an author. She writes The Twisted Tale of Miss Natalie Stewart and several other books. But like I was rooming with her and she showed up late last year. So like I'm asleep in my room at midnight. I look up. There is this beautiful ethereal vampire blonde woman in a fascinator and a corset and a huge bell gown standing in front of me. And I was like, you look like the Grim Reaper angel and there's a cupcake in the fridge for you. And so she sat there in her little outfit and carefully with her mourning gloves peeled down her cupcake and was like, oh. It's
beautiful. Okay, so anyway, Chuck Wendig, all those other people are going to be there.
Yeah. Huge group of people. If you like stock, and I think Pat Rothfuss is going to be there too. James Artemis Owens was there last year. We had Peter Arroyan, Sean Speakman, Terry Brooks. I got to help the original Uhura use a coffee machine. It's a great con.
Have you ever watched Comic Book Men?
Mm-mm. I don't have TV. Like, my TVs are only hooked up to DVD players. So. Okay.
Well, it takes place in Jane Silent Bob's secret stash in New Jersey in Red Bank.
Dude!
Yeah, so it's the comic book store. Yeah. And it's all the guys... It's all the guys who inspired Kevin Smith to do Clerks in the first place. So it's his friend Walt who inspired Dante. It's his friend. Yeah, it's all these guys who inspired the characters. Anyway.
You need the real Randall, though. Like, there's a real Randall.
No, there is. There's a real Randall. He's in the show. The thing that's hard to believe is that he now weighs probably three times what a Randall would weigh. I mean, he's a huge dude, but he's shown pictures of when he was younger and he looked skinny, and that's when he was Randall. Anyway,
he's a berserker.
They're sitting there. Who walks in? Nichelle Nichols. She wants a Mego Lieutenant Uhura. And it turns out that in all these years, she's heard about them. She's never had one. So she tasks them with going out and finding ones. And she says, I'm only going to be in town for like 6 hours. And so they go to work. They're going to find one for her.
That's awesome.
They find one. And just in the nick of time. And she comes in to pick it up. And the guy who runs the place, he's like, all right. And so it's yours for like $120 or whatever, right? And she says, you're going to charge me? She just figured they would give it to her because she's Uhura. So the guy who inspired Randall, he says, how about this? I'll buy it for her if I can have a kiss. He says, I want to recreate the first ever
interracial kiss.
He says, I want to recreate it here on TV.
He asked her to prostitute herself for a Mego figure.
And she said yes.
Whoa, the balls on that guy.
And she kissed him, and she got her Uhura doll, and then she said, come here, baby, and she kissed him again. I was like, wow, okay, Uhura. I also wanted to show you that the R2-D2 that I showed you actually opens up.
Is there candy in that? Oh, there's no candy.
It's a tiny little Leia.
You're my only hope. That's adorable. It'd be better if she was made of chocolate.
But I know. Still. But our listeners can't see that. So anyway, anywhere else you're going to be? Anywhere else that they can find you?
Dragon Con. I'll be at Dragon Con. I've got my guest status this year.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's in your own backyard.
It is, but I there are very nice people that come to Dragon Con.
There are.
No, I think that's everything I have throughout the year. I have an events page on my blog where I keep better track of it and list like where I'll be at the specific cons. But no, I mean, I'll go almost anywhere I'm invited. Like, I don't want to say like I'll go anywhere they pay me because that could end up with me in a bathtub with my kidneys gone. But like, I really like Comic Cons and I really like teaching writing and I really like meeting people who want to geek out with me over all the things I like to geek out over.
So yeah, mention again, you said now the writers things that you're doing, are you actually teaching at those?
Last year at the Crossroads Writers Conference in Macon, I was the keynote speaker, and then I did recently, a little horrible adverb, for Chuck Wendig's blog, I did 25 steps to being a traditionally published author, and 29 steps to writing your first sex scene,
which a lot of people read that one and said, yes, this was great.
Well, I can do that live, and I don't even blush that much. But yeah, so I had panels and had full rooms of people. I have a conference that hasn't been announced yet that I'm going to next year. I'm super excited about. I taught art since I was 14, so I have some teaching stuff. I can teach you to draw things and paint things or write things. Very but cool. No, I'm. Not scary at all, and I believe that you can do it. And I will berate you on Twitter if you say that you can't, and we're friends.
Well, you see,
you better write your book.
Hey, I doodle every Wednesday, and I post it. So I've started Wednesday doodles, so I try to draw. All right, well, Delilah, I would love to talk to you for another 3.5 hours, but unfortunately, we can't do that because I don't think Donardo would let me. But hey. That's okay. And I think possibly your family might get upset too. I have super enjoyed this. Yes. I think you're awesome. I think everybody should go out and follow you on Twitter, follow you on Facebook, buy your stuff. and read it and just crack up because you have a wonderful sense of humor. And I love when that sense of humor gets into writing. I just, that's one of my big things.
I think it's really hard to take yourself too seriously when you realize that you're narcissistic enough to write a whole bunch of words and expect people are reading them. So I just try not to ever take it all that seriously. I mean, come on, man. Like there's steampunk vampires banging in submarines. How seriously can you take it?
Well, I just think it's wonderful and everybody should go read your stuff. And I hope that you are still writing and 20 years from now and that you're just hugely successful. So thanks for coming on. I hope you'll come on again sometime and talk with us.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the SF Signal podcast. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the link to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com, and you can also search SF Signal in iTunes to find the feed. To comment about this or any of our podcast episodes, please call our voicemail line at 720-277-9082. If you enjoyed this podcast, help us boost the signal by telling your friends. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melts featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SFNF field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, new author spotlights, movie reviews, videos, science fiction, fantasy, and horror tidbits, free fiction roundups, and the new genre-related crowdfunding roundups. Click the RSS button in the sidebar to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo?
Angry robot.
Magic Wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.